Today is December 27th, right? December 27th, 2020. Tomorrow, this is just a rabbit trail maybe. Tomorrow it's my youngest sister's birthday. So she was, I can remember back in the day when we had to have our Christmas presents because mom was going to have come to be the last child in our family. But my youngest sister, she was due. And so we had Christmas on the 23rd, and then my sister shows up on the 28th. So it was both exciting to me because we had Christmas at that time. And I was 7 years old at the time. And we had Christmas on the 23rd, which was very exciting. But then when the 25th rolled around, it was like, oh no, it's kind of over. You know, it was very maybe depressive to me at that time. But my sister is, and I wish her a happy birthday tomorrow morning. I'll try to be the first one, 5-something in the morning. Maybe I'll either call or text her in the morning. But today is the 27th of December, 2020. It's the last Sunday in 2020. When we started off this year, we said there are going to be 52 times we're going to be together. We're just going to be 52 times. We're going to meet together. We have an invitation to meet together 52 times through the year 2020. And this is the 52nd time that we have been here. 52 times. This is the 52nd time on this 27th day of December. The messages traditionally would fall on this Sunday. I have, for the last 15 years anyway, I've done they've been entitled stuff like Stepping on the Scales. Hemoglobin A1C. I had a message called Hemoglobin A1C. If you're diabetic, you know what that is. It kind of tells on you if you've been doing all right throughout the year. You get a hemoglobin A1C drawn, and it kind of tells you what your glucoses have been throughout the year. But I've entitled the message on this Sunday in years past, Hemoglobin A1C. I've titled it Stepping on the Scales, or The Final Exam, or The Checkup, or How Are We Doing? That's been some of the titles of the messages on this Sunday throughout the years, because I have a tradition that I want to go back and look at the messages from the year and see how we're doing. I want to step on the scale. I want to get my hemoglobin A1C checked. I want to know how we're doing. God has done some amazing things, and he's delivered some amazing truth into our life this past year, the 51 times that we have been together. So I've entitled this message today, A Mark on the Wall. It's just when you back up to the door frame and you kind of draw another line and you write the year. This is how tall I was. How much taller are you at the end of this year? And I'm not just talking physically, obviously. I'm talking spiritually. How much taller are you this year? Because of what God has done in our lives and what He's fed us these 51 times together. And this review today of how you're doing. How are we doing? So let me just take us back to the few of the messages that we have looked at through this year and just really ask the question, how are we doing on that? January 5th was a message that came. I don't have anything in the back wall that can be undone. January 5th was the first time that we met this year. And the message was entitled, The Power of the Spoken Word. The power of the spoken word. And listen, this is a complete review. Or just you're watching it again if you were here on January 5th of this year. Each person speaks somewhere between 12,000 and 30,000 words each day. And so we are a steward of those words we talked about. God gives us the ability to speak. And what are we doing with those words? How are we caring for those words? How are we letting God use those words in our lives to build each other up? We have 4.5 days left of this year. Just so you know, that's about 94,000 words you've got left. 94,000 words you're going to spend between now and next Thursday. So I'm asking how you spent your words in the past year. How are you doing on that? How are we doing on that? We are speaking to our friends and to our kids, and we are speaking to our spouse and to our parents and to our coworkers and to the world, and even speaking to ourselves. What are you saying to yourself? Because Proverbs tells us this. It tells us in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And we unpacked that in January of this year. I'm just asking, that's mark up to the wall. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with your words? And this is not a message to beat us up. Well, I can remember last week I said this and I shouldn't have said it. No, the power of life and death is in our tongue. The power of life and death. You got 94,000 more words this year that you're going to spend. How are we doing on that? How have you done thus far? What are you using your words to do? And then we moved in February 16th of 2020, we looked at this. We looked at 2 Timothy 1, 6, and 7. It was entitled, The Gift That Grows. And for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. We talked about the call of God, and we talked about the gift of life that God has given us. Fan into flames that life that God has given us. Fan into flame that call that God has given you in your life. He's telling Timothy, fan it into flames, Timothy. Fan, how are you doing with that? How are we doing with that? Are we fanning it into flames? You know that God's got a call on your life. That God's got a design for you. That God has equipped you and is in equipping you for a special service and a special life ahead of you, to life and have it to the fullest. Are you fanning that into flames? How are you doing with that? And apparently it's not easy, or he wouldn't have to give us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. He did not give you a spirit of fear, he said, or a spirit of timidity. Because sometimes I'm afraid. I'm afraid of where this will take me. I'm afraid of how I will have to change. Push the button, please. I'm afraid of how I will have to change. I'm afraid that what I'll have to do. I'm afraid of how much it will cost me. I'm afraid of what others will say. I'm afraid of who will oppose me in doing this call of God in my life, or doing this, living this life. How are we doing on that? Are you fanning it into flames? Has God made you spiritually taller this year because you're fanning that into flames? And God says, don't worry, I've given you a spirit of power, because you're going to need power to be able to do that, because fear is going to want to keep you down and fear is going to want to put a cap on you. I did not give you that spirit of fear. I did not give you that spirit of timidity. I give you one of power. Dunamis is the word. It's the same word we get dynamite from. I've given you explosive power. I've given you power that will move mountains. I've given you power that will uproot rooted trees. My grandfather one time, when you could buy dynamite, man, I missed out on that era, when you could buy dynamite at the hardware store. I mean, I just used to hear my grandfather, my dad talk about, yeah, we used to go down to Leathers in Knoxville, and we only bought a half stick. I was like, wow, I wish I could have bought dynamite. But my grandfather wanted a stump taken out of his lawn. Here's the story that goes. And he wanted a stump taken out of the lawn. It was a huge stump, so he just went down to Leathers and got some dynamite. And he dug under the stump a little bit, and he was going to blow the stump out. This is the kind of power that God has for you and me. And he dug a little hole, and he put the dynamite under there, and he lit it. And, of course, he escaped the environment. And kaboom! And the stump in its entirety came out of the ground. As high as the house, they tell. And it wasn't too far from the house. And it was a good thing that it blew it straight up, because it blew it straight up in the air, flipped it over, and set it back down in the same hole. Wow. Didn't launch it over onto the house. But that's the kind of power that God has given. I can give you power that will take the rooted tree that's been in your life all your life. I can give you the power to get rid of that rooted tree, to get rid of that junk. I know that you're going to be afraid to fan it into flames, to fan this calling in your life into flames. And I know you're going to be afraid of somebody who may oppose you. I know you're just going to look weird out there, but I've given you power. I know you don't think you can do it. I know you messed up before in your life. I know you got all these, oh, I wish I hadn't. But let me give you the power so that you can blow these out of the ground. Because I want you to fan it into flames. We talked about that in February. And as I look back at it, that was like a Valentine's message. That was like, well, I missed that one. You know, I should have spoken on love. But there is a power to accomplish. Push it back, please. A power to accomplish the difficult task. A power to meet challenges with guts. And the power to change. And the power to stand in the storm. The power to kick the gates of hell. And the power to complete the mission. And a power to bring life into the situation. And a power to live a holy life. He said, wait a minute, I want that power controlled, and so I need to give you love too. Because power without love can be very dangerous. He said, so I'm giving you love too, and I'm going to give you the ability to love, the love that endures, and the love that prevails, and the love that will overcome hate and cruelty, and love that will melt your own heart, and the love that will allow you to see people as I see people, God says. I'm going to give you power. But I got to mix that with love, because power without love is detrimental. But power with love. Wow. The gift that grows, fanning into flames. I want to give you power. I have given you power. And I've given you love. And I've given you self-discipline. And self-discipline refers to a wise head. I've given you a wise head. I've given you wisdom to see and move. To see and move. All wisdom comes from God. And God says, I've given you wisdom so you can see and move. I'm going to give you a wise head. And you're going to be able to keep the head in the game. You're not just going to lose it with power or this feeling of love, which is powerful when you mix it with power. But when you mix the power with love and you mix that with a wise head, woo! Then you're going to see what I can accomplish in your life as you fan it into flames. How are we doing on that? And then it was March 22nd, 2020. March 22nd, 2020 was a Sunday that followed the week previous to that, of course. And the week previous to that, the week of the 15th, we were here, and all of a sudden we started to get these vibes and these proclamations that a virus was in town, and there was going to be some limitations, and all of a sudden there was I didn't know what to do, so to speak, and I was somewhere between two before and pillow, like I said last week. And I wrote this in my thinking book. Forgive my handwriting. 3/16/2020, COVID-19, coronavirus seems to be altering, I should have had an ING on that, altering life. There are people who are dying, and there seems to be a fear that is running rampant in our land. The government is asking, restrict gatherings of 50 or more. So how does the church respond? If we do not gather, which would perhaps show our respect for the government and even our willingness to do our part to help against the spread of the virus, but if fear is alive in our community, where will people run? So we have never missed a Sunday. I felt convinced that we would not relinquish this property on a Sunday morning. Amen. There was going to be a place. There was going to be a place when our community could run. They're going to see a force standing, a power standing. They're going to see a realness standing. They're going to see someone who is respectful perhaps, but not in fear to close anything down. And for the next 29 weeks, we dragged it all outside. And we had guys showing up on bicycles. And we had firemen showing up. And we had cops joining us. And we had all kinds of people. And there were more people and more people and more people. There were 70 or 80 cars on Easter that had gathered here. Our community needed somewhere where fear was not running the show. And so we have been here 52 times. And we will continue to be here. In that first week, that 22nd, we said we're going to drive through a blessing. And some of you drove here 30 or 40 cars. And there was a team of New Lifers outside. And we were laying hands on your cars. And we were giving you a gift. And we were crying out for God's blessing on your car and on your family. We had people show up for the very first time just to have their family blessed. Powerful moments. And April 26th, I entitled the message, Skunk Fear Stinks. I don't know if you remember that message or not. I remember that because when a skunk gets afraid, he stinks. That's how we know a skunk is afraid. Skunk fear stinks. And I found myself stinking one day because I thought fear was trying to inundate my heart and my soul. And I can remember on that Monday sitting down and looking at Facebook and being preached to and proclaimed to by you. So many passages of Scripture that were screaming out to me. God was ministering to my soul. God was strengthening me in that very moment. And you were preaching the message. And some of you, one of you at least, posted this. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters that you may have. If you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come. You're not limited. And I can remember sitting in my office on that Monday morning and just feeling the presence of God and feeling Him saying, come. And some of you posted that and it was ministering to my soul. And the fear was going away. It was the tomato juice that was being poured on my soul. And the tomato juice is supposed to take away this fear, the skunk fear, right? I don't know how good it works because my dog and myself had been sprayed at that time. But the tomato juice of the Word of God was pouring over my soul. And Isaiah 55:1 was ministering to me. And then Psalm 139, 1 through 4, one of you posted it. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And I felt God saying, you need to know this. I know you. I have searched you. I know who you are. I know the depths of who you are. I know what you're wrestling with. I know your thoughts. I know when you sit and when you rise. Perceive your thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you are familiar with all my ways. Before the word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord. And I felt it. I felt God doing something in my heart and in my soul. That fear that had tried to creep in on me. My physical own afflictions that I was wrestling with. And what the world was wrestling with, and what some of you were wrestling with, and what some of you are still wrestling with. And then I flipped the page on Facebook, and I read Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I love the names of God there. Elion, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim. Whoa, that is stacked. He who dwells in the shelter of Elion will rest in the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say to Yahweh, He is my refuge, my fortress, and He is my Elohim in whom I trust. That is stacked up. One of the things, and you know, I want to take all he's and hims out of the Bible. I want to replace it with the name of God. I want to take Jesus, and no more he's. I don't care if you capitalize it or you don't capitalize it. I just want it replaced. I want Jesus. I want Elion. I want El Shaddai. I want Yahweh. I want Elohim. I want to stop using the word just Lord and God. We get so inundated with just Lord and God. I want to know the names of God. And when I looked up those names, it was ministering to my soul, and they were running over me, and I was being strengthened, and I could dwell because God knew me, and I could rest, and I could trust in God. And He built me up, and He stood me up, and He brushed me off. How are we doing on that? How are we doing on that? Are we allowing God to stand us up and brush us off? Do you know that your Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, and Elohim is in your life right today? How are we doing? Fan into flames. How are we doing? Just so you know, 2020 is not the year of the coronavirus. 2020 is the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
And guess what 2021 will be if the Lord tarries? The year of the Lord's favor. And every year from this year on will be the year of the Lord's favor. Whether you're on this earth or whether you're left this earth, it'll be the year of the Lord's favor. And when you've been there 10,000 years, there'll be no less days to sing God's praise because it's still the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
How are we doing on that? On May 10th, we said this. On May 10th, I've entitled the message, "Hold On!" And I can remember the echoing off of the mountain. When you look at Isaiah 41, it says, "Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Though you wage war against those who wage war against you, you will be as nothing to all. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all, because I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, because I'm here. Oh, don't be afraid when they call you a worm, Jacob, and they think you're so small, Israel. For I myself will help you, declares Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in Yahweh. The glory is the glory in the Holy One. You and glory in the Holy One of Israel. You let me hold on to you. You let me hold on to you. You let me hold on to you, and you will become a mountain eater. You will become the kingdom of darkness will lose to you. The hills will lose to you. What is behind the mountains is the hills, and it will lose to you because I'm giving you new, sharp, and many teeth. You will be mountain eaters. You will confront and defeat evil that is wrecking people and families and communities. We are the church. We're not some civil organization. We're not some sportsman's club. We are the church. You will confront evil that is wrecking families and people and communities, and you will defeat them because I'm going to give you teeth. You are right in saying, you are right in saying the battle belongs to the Lord, but know this, you belong to me, and therefore I will win the battle through you. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. How are we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing on that? Are we seeing ourselves as weak? Are we seeing ourselves as one who God has the hold of our right hand? Are we seeing ourselves with God's hand on our right hand? And he said, I'm strengthening you, and you are going to tear down walls, and you're going to walk a new path, and you're going to free people. July 5th, I entitled the message, There Was a July 5th. Sometimes I'm very creative. But you know, they signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, but then they had to live it out on July 5th. We talked about living in freedom. And that God has set you free. And are you living in that freedom? And how are we living in that freedom? And in that freedom, one is free to do what? And we looked at Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since you are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And again, I got to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Do you know that you've been set free? Do you know that we just sang that the hold of the grave has lost its grip on me or something like that, right? And it's about the time we're singing that. Someone walks up to me and says, I think that God has wants somebody to go deeper and the enemy's trying to stop them. And I'm just feeling that word from the Lord right now. And so we sing, we proclaim the hold of the grave has lost its hold on me, but then we live as dead people. And not as free people. For the enemy is trying to stop you. If it's you this morning that word came for, don't let him stop you. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So that you can live in freedom. And there's a July 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th. How are we doing on living in our freedom? How are we doing in living in that freedom? And then it was August 2nd. I entitled the message, Apostolic Power. And you know the story of the guy who shared with me. And as a hawk was flying around and he shared with me, sometimes hawks are seen in the prophetic world as an apostolic anointing. And as I processed that and thought about that, and then I come down here the very next Sunday, and it was, there was hawks flying around this building. There was hawks flying around the field out there. And I began to wonder, God, what are you doing? What do you want us to know? You want to pour out an apostolic anointing on us, on individuals, on me, on anyone? Do you want to pour it out on them? Or us or me? So I processed that through the week, and all of a sudden I'm preaching this message of this apostolic anointing. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I got pictures of hawks during the message. I love being outdoors. I haven't seen one hawk fly over today. But I got pictures of some of you and pictures of hawks flying over while we're preaching, while that message is being proclaimed to us. And I said, wow, God, do you want to pour out this apostolic anointing? And then we looked at 2 Corinthians 12:12, and I just got to ask myself, am I okay with this? Am I still okay with this? I was okay with this in August. But am I still okay with it today? Are you okay with it if God wants to do this in our presence? The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. Is it okay if God does that? And I know the answer to us probably sitting here would be, sir, are we certain? Are we certain? Is it okay if God shows up with this miracle? I'm still waiting for the day when I can put my foot out here and feel solid ground. God may do that someday. I don't know. Apparently not today. Or wonders or unusual events or mighty works from the supernatural power. I'm just asking myself more than maybe all of us. Are we okay if God does that? Are we okay if God shows up and does something that doesn't fit into our doctrine, so to speak? Or fit into our box that we have for God? How are we doing on that? Are we doing all right? And I guess I'm looking in the mirror more than I am anything. And then we got to October the 4th. And I entitled the message, It's About the Peas.